Jeff Woods joins us once again. And Woodsy, it's I was watching, you know, in basketball I saw it, in hockey, you see it everywhere. You see it at the gym. Foam rolling has become a ritual for pre and post exercises. So I guess let's start. What is foam rolling? Like, when did it become so popular?
Well, it's been popular for a long time, Gregor, in rehabilitation circles. But for those that don't know, foam rolling or myofascial release therapy is a form of self-administered massage where the athlete or the user will apply their body weight to a cylinder-shaped foam roller. And typically it's performed on the ground. The user will roll back and forth over the length of a muscular system that may be tight or dysfunctional in some way.
Okay. Do you, so now the, when you look at foam rolling, you say it's been around for a while. Now the various type of foam rollers, right? Because I've seen some, there's big ones and there's smaller ones that seem to be harder. Is there a right foam roller to use?
Well, there would be, and that would take some evaluation, maybe by a physiotherapist, athletic therapist, personal trainer, who has some insight in this, and they would, you know, prescribe the right roller for you. And the density is the thing with the roller. And obviously, if it's really hard and it's too hard and you're a senior and you're not a very strong individual, using a roller that's too hard could do some damage. So they typically come in densities that are very soft, medium, and then pretty dense. Now, let's use like a football player as the example. Somebody that played for the Edmonton Eskimos, for example, who might need some myofascial release work, you know, using a more dense roller would be more effective on a strong individual like that. But on your 80-year-old mother, it would obviously be inappropriate. And let me just start by saying this. The research on the topic is all over the map, and the conclusions are really inconsistent when it comes to foam rolling. And more research needs to be done in order to make broad statements about its effectiveness for the general population. But, Gregor, I'll give you a list of popular reasons why people foam roll. Number one reason, it feels good. And I think, you know, for anybody who's tried it, it can feel good, but it depends on the muscles that you're rolling out. Like on your back and on your glutes, typically that feels pretty good. But if you ever tried to roll out your quadriceps, like the front part of your legs, it's quite painful. So maybe that doesn't feel so good. Number two reason, people make it a part of their warm-up protocol. So foam rolling can be a nice complement to a more dynamic calisthenic type protocol to ready yourself for exercise. But by itself, foam rolling would be a dismal warm-up strategy because it's very static. There's not a lot of movement going on there. And then the third thing, sometimes people make it a part of their cool-down protocol to reduce the risk of delayed onset muscle soreness. Research would not support that notion. Muscle damage was probably already done during the activity or your workout. So the only thing that's going to fix the delayed onset muscle soreness there is going to be time. Time's the magic pill there. Now, once the damage has been done and you're dealing with the symptoms of muscle pain, foam rolling has shown to manage the pain more effectively. But understand, like in the research, these conclusions are very subjective. They're coming from individuals that participated in the research who said they thought they felt better, but it was really hard to sort of measure it any other way beyond that. So it's very, very subjective. And then the last thing they think, well, if I foam roll, I'm going to have improved sport performance. For the average person, that would be the furthest thing from the truth. It's not going to reduce your risk of injury. It's not going to improve your performance. Now, some of the research has shown that for elite level sprinters showed minuscule improvements in including a little bit of foam rolling before their races. And again, I want to reiterate, like the values were negligible. It's almost not even measurable how much faster they were. And it's not clear why. Now, on the other side of the coin, jump athletes, like basketball players and so on, they actually had reduced jump heights when they did foam rolling prior to, you know, jump tests. Now, much like how when static stretching, we apply that, and then we ask somebody to jump, there's a significant, you know, power inhibition. They don't jump as high. And the reason that they don't jump as high is that the stretch shortening cycle, again, the response time is inhibited a bit. So it may be the same sort of setup with the foam rolling. The one thing I would say, Gregor, with foam rolling in general, the bottom line, if you like foam rolling, fly at it. But if you're looking for added performance or mobility benefits, it would be low on the totem pole for a robust return of time. And just remember, it's a series of things that contribute to better physical performance. No one thing makes the difference. The basics work really well together. Eat nutritiously, get 7 to 10 hours of sleep, follow a periodized plan for progressing your strength and your cardiorespiratory fitness along, and chances are you're going to be in ultimate shape when it comes to, you know, taking on any task, whether it's sport-related or life or duty-related.
Jeff Woods joins us from Custom Fit. Now, why the people foam roll and does it really work? I guess you kind of answered that a little bit. So my question is, though, is there the benefit? It's not, if it's not going to make you a better athlete, that's fine. But what about the comfort level? Like, has there anything proven that by doing it, it can reduce soreness a little bit for just, you know, the average person like myself? If I'm rolling out afterwards, is it going to limit or lower potentially? Nothing eliminates it, but will it lower soreness?
It will. Like, if you've done something, even if it's just gardening or anything that you do that's unusual to your normal physical patterns, there's a good possibility that you're going to end up with some muscle soreness. So research, you know, has shown that rolling out a little bit can minimize those symptoms, those feelings of pain. It doesn't expedite or speed up the repair process, but it'll help you manage the pain a little bit better for sure. And I'm just saying, you know, with the foam rolling, I see so many people coming into like paid training sessions with trainers, spending, you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes rolling of their 60-minute session that's costing them $90 an hour with, and again, they're engaging in a pretty static protocol. I'm just saying that there are things that will help with your mobility and muscle function that are a little bit more dynamic.
Yeah, like a dynamic warm-up.
Absolutely. So I'm just saying that I think that people have to understand that there's been such emphasis on foam rolling. I see a lot of it. I'm just saying there's, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't do it. If you like it, I mean, continue. But I'm just saying that the return on time is quite low, and the dynamic warm-up and movement patterns are far better.
Jeffrey, great stuff, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Jason.